You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a blessing to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. And I want to wish everyone a happy and prosperous new year. We are in the gospel writings of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. And last time we stopped at verse 24. We're going to continue from there. Just a little recap. We see in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the disciples who the people were saying that he is. And they said, some said, you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and some other prophets. But he asked them, who do you say that I am? And we see where Peter, by the revelation given by the Holy Spirit, he was able to say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's Matthew 16, 18. So we see, people of God, that this revelation came to Peter, that Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the Messiah, the anointed one. And we see the word of God tells us that from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. In verse 21, and from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Well, they did not really understand what Christ's mission here was. So we see Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And the word of God says, Peter said, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But we see where the word tells us that Jesus rebuked Peter. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So Jesus rebuked Peter. So there was a satanic influence behind all that Peter said to Jesus. So Jesus was offended by Peter not wanting him to go to the cross. That was his mission here on earth, to die for lost humanity. So we see, people of God, no matter how much we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we can be influenced by the opposition, the evil one. So Peter was influenced by Satan to say, no, Jesus, you must not go to the cross. That was his mission. He was here to save lost humanity. So we see, people of God, Christ had to fulfill his mission. So Peter's mind was carnal. His mind was not on the things of God. And the word tells us in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So we see where his mind was still carnal, so he could not understand and see. Even though he had the revelation earlier, now he was just acting according to his rational mind and not seeing that Christ has come to pay the sin penalty for us. He came so that you and I could be set free. So if we are going to go on to verse 24, but before we go on to verse 24, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for today. Thank you for your great love towards us. Thank you for your new mercies and your grace. Thank you for your peace that passes human understanding, which keep our hearts and minds. Thank you for this privilege, O God, to bring forth your word to your people. We pray in the name of Jesus as we come to hear your word, O God, that our hearts will be open to what you are saying to us this evening. We pray in the name of Jesus, Almighty God, that your word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. O God, that your word, O God, will illuminate our path so that we will not stumble on the journey. O God, give us understanding of your word that we might live by your word. O God, we pray, O God, Almighty Lord, that we will now start to apply your word, because understanding has come to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that you are the master teacher, and we thank you that you are guiding us into all truth. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, oh God. We pray for your people who are listening. Those that are saved, they will be strengthened in their faith, oh God. Those that have not yet met you, Jesus, will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we bless you, we honor and give you glory, and thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bless God. So we see in verse 24, the word of God said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Anyone desire to be a follower of Jesus, anyone desire to be a learner, a trainer of Jesus, a trainee of Jesus Christ, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to emulate me, that's what Jesus was saying. If anyone desires to copy me, to be like me, let him deny himself. Deny himself, disown himself, take up his cross and follow me. So we see, people of God, the cross is a symbol of execution. So we have to die to self daily so that we can live the new life that is in Christ Jesus. We have to die to our old ways and understand that it does cost to follow Jesus. There are things that we have to give up that we never want to give up. So if we truly desire to come after Christ, to pursue Christ, we have to disown our old way of living. Take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. And people of God, it's not easy. We have to know that following Jesus is not about popularity and prestige, but it's about self-denial. Let me repeat that. Following Jesus is not about popularity and prestige, but it is about self-denial. Are we ready to and willing to deny self, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus? Are we willing and ready to allow the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of our flesh so we can live that new life that is in Christ Jesus? Look at verse 25 of Matthew 16. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus was saying that whoever desires to hold on to and practice the old lifestyle will lose out on the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus. But whoever abandons his old lifestyle for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ will find that new life, the abundant life in Christ. People of God, we have to make some decision. We have to make the choice to follow Jesus. We have to choose to follow Jesus. We have to choose to abandon our old lifestyle for the cause of Christ Jesus. People of God, we cannot live both lives. We cannot live the old lifestyle that is coming from the kingdom of darkness and also live the new lifestyle coming from the kingdom of light. Both of them cannot mix. So we have to come to understand that we have to abandon the old lifestyle. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So if we continue to hold on to the old lifestyle, we will lose out on that abundant life that is in Christ Jesus. But whoever loses that old life for the sake of Christ will find a new life in Christ Jesus. People of God, we are called to that new life in Christ. We are called to live the new life in Christ, completely committed to him, completely devoted to him. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 16. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So the question is asked, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So people of God, we have to understand the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. We have to surrender our whole life to Christ to receive the new life that is in him. An exchange has to take place. We have to give up our old way of life and receive the new life that is in Christ Jesus. We have to come to understand We have to come to that place in our Christian walk where we abandon the worldly lifestyle and gain all the benefits that Christ gives. So people of God, it will only profit us if we abandon the old lifestyle and gain the new life, the benefits that come through knowing Christ. So we cannot love the world and love Christ at the same time. So what will it profit us if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? Or what will we give up in exchange for our soul? So we have to come to that place, people of God, of making that decision, of committing our lives completely to Jesus Christ, giving him all. We cannot love the world and love Jesus at the same time. It doesn't work like that. So we have to understand, people of God, we have to give up what we never want to give up. We have to give up our old way of living so that we can benefit, we can profit from the new life that is in Christ Jesus. So we see, people of God, in 1 John 2:15 through 17, the word tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it's showing us, people of God, we cannot love Christ and love the world. We have to give up something. We have to give up our old worldly living. We have to give up the things that would trip us, the things that would cause us to stumble. We have to give them up so that we can truly live the new life that is in Christ Jesus. So look at verse 27 of Matthew 16. Verse 27. Matthew 16, New King James Version, the word said, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father, speaking of when Christ will be coming. And in the second coming, it speaks of that. And then he will reward each according to his work. So we see, people of God, in Revelation 22, verse 12, the word said, and behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So Christ is coming back to reward us according to our works. And we see, people of God, in Matthew 16, verse 28, that's the last verse in Matthew 16. So after we finish that last verse, we're going to go on to chapter 17 of the gospel writings of Matthew. So we see the last verse, verse 28, tells us, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What was Jesus speaking about here? So Jesus was speaking of his transfiguration on the mount where he took Peter, James, and John. They witnessed him in his majestic splendor as king. So Jesus was speaking about his transfiguration right here. He said, surely or assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here. He was speaking to his disciples. There are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So he was speaking of himself being transfigured before them so that they could see his splendor, people of God. They witnessed him in his majestic splendor as king. So people of God, those disciples saw him in his splendor before they died. So they did not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And we're going to see that in chapter 17, people of God. But the word of God tells us, Peter himself, in his epistle, and we see in the second epistle of Peter, Peter 1, 16 through 18, Peter spoke of the transfiguration. So we see, people of God, it is showing us that this is what Jesus was talking about, that they would see him in his splendor as king. So we are going to look at 2 Peter 1:16-18. 2 Peter 1:16-18 said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So Peter was speaking of the time when Jesus was transfigured before them. So he said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. His majesty, we were eyewitnesses of the king. So we see, people of God, that Christ showed them that he is king. Show them some of what he had before he came to earth. Show them his glory before he came to earth. So Peter wrote that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. And we are going to read up that, people of God, in chapter 17. Peter was writing, for Christ received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, Peter was saying, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we see Peter made it clear that they saw Christ in his glorious splendor. We see where he received honor from the Father. And we see, people of God, that they did not taste death till they see him in his glory. They saw him in his majestic splendor. People of God, Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. His majesty, the king. We were eyewitnesses of the king. So Jesus said, they will not see they will not see death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So we see, people of God, the king had appeared before them, and those men, those disciples of old, saw Jesus in his splendor, in his glory, and he got the honor from his Father. So we see, people of God, the word of God is true. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, the word of God must come to pass, people of God. So everything that Jesus spoke came to pass. And we're going to look now in Matthew chapter 17 in the New King James Version, and we're going to see how Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. And we're going to see and understand why all this happened. So we look in Matthew 17, New King James Version, verse 1. The word of God said, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. So we see, people of God, that Jesus took Peter, James, and John. He had 12 main disciples. He had other disciples, but they were 12 that he had selected. And we see, people of God, that he took only 3. So out of the 12, these 3 were closest to him. So we see he took Peter, James, and John. So he didn't want everybody to see him in his glory. He didn't want everyone to see. So he took these 3 and went up on that mountain, that high mountain, by themselves. Look at verse 2 of Matthew chapter 17. The word said, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So we see Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. He was transformed. They saw him in his glorified state. This was the majestic splendor that he had with the Father before his incarnation. So they saw Jesus. They saw a side of Jesus that they had never seen before, people of God. So he was transfigured before them. The words of his face shone like the sun. So can you imagine that light that was shining from Jesus Christ? And that's the light, people of God, that he had before he came to fallen earth. We see that's the splendor, that's the glory that he lives in before he came to fallen earth. So we see, people of God, he called those 3 in a circle, disciples, and said, come and let me show you. Let me show you. So he showed them his glorified state, his majestic splendor. Peter said, we saw His majesty. We saw him as king. We saw him in his kingly attire. The word tells us his face shone like the sun and his clothes as white as light. People of God, look on verse 3 of Matthew 17. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. So we see, people of God, Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets of the Old Testament, they came to talk with Jesus, who came to fulfill all of the Old Testament teachings. So we see, people of God, Moses and Elijah were highly revered in the Old Testament. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. So we see, people of God, they came and they were speaking to Jesus. Look at verse 4 of Matthew 17. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "It is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." So people of God, we see sometimes we too can get carried away. Peter got carried away with the vision of these Old Testament patriarchs. So he wanted to build three tabernacles, three meeting places for them. Look at it, people of God. Peter was carried away. He saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. He saw a representative of the law, a representative of the prophet, and the Messiah Jesus together. He wanted to build three tabernacles, three meeting places for them. But look what happened, people of God, when we go over to verse 5 of Matthew 17. While he was still speaking, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." People of God, we have to understand this. Peter was there now carried away by seeing Moses and Elijah and Jesus speaking. He said, "I want to build three tabernacles for the three of you." But God, the Father, spoke from heaven. The word of God said, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" So Jesus is the beloved Son, people of God. He is the one that we must listen to and practice his sayings. People of God, we have to understand, Moses himself spoke of Jesus. He said, "There's a prophet coming who's like me, but he's the one that you must hearken to," in Deuteronomy 18. People of God, he's the one that you must listen to. He's the one that you must obey. So Peter now was ready to build three tabernacles, thinking that things were going to be as usual. No, people of God, Jesus came to institute the new covenant. So we have to understand, people of God, Jesus is the one that we must obey. So the Lord was making it clear that the law and the prophetic writings were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. They were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So he's the beloved Son you need to listen to. We need to listen to Jesus, hearken to his voice, and obey him. He is the one that we must obey. Jesus, he is the one. Only he we must obey, people of God. Moses himself spoke to the Jewish people and tell them, "There's a prophet who is coming after me. He is the one you must listen to. He is the one you must obey." People of God, we have to come to understand these words and know the Father had to speak up so that Peter could understand that it was not about the law and the prophets, but it was all about Jesus coming to fulfill all the law and the prophetic writings. We have to understand, people of God, it's about Jesus and Jesus only. He is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Only he can save us. So he's the one we must hearken to. He's the one we must hear and obey. Let us refer to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10:8-10. The word of God says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So Christ came to do the will of the Father. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. The word said, he takes away the first. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He takes away the first, the old covenant, the Old Testament. He takes away so he may establish the second. People of God, we can't have the two covenants reigning at the same time. So the old, the word of God tells us, was taken away. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So he came to fulfill all of the Old Testament laws and prophecies and psalms. Everything that was written in the Old Testament, Christ came as a fulfillment. So the word said he takes away the first that he may establish the second. Verse 10 of Hebrews 10 said, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus' offering of his body once and for all. Jesus laying down his life for us, people of God. Now today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's the one that we must hearken to. He's the one that we must obey. He's the one that we must listen to and obey, people of God. So we see Peter there did not understand what he was saying. He was carried away because of all these great men of the Bible showing up. So he was carried away. So we too at times can become carried away. But we have to be very careful, people of God. The word of God tells us that the old has to be taken away so the new could be established. And Jesus came with the new covenant. He said, the new covenant is in my blood. So we have a new covenant, people of God, in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed for us has placed us in a new covenant with God. So we are now in that new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have been reconciled to our Father through Jesus Christ. And today, people of God, he's the mediator between God and man. So he's the one that we must praise. He's the one that we must worship. He's the one that we must look to, people of God, for he is the one who did it all for us. He paid our debt penalty, and today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. So look at verse 6 of Matthew 17. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. When the disciples heard that voice, remember that voice, the word said the voice came. So suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And the word said in verse 6, when the disciples heard it, when they heard that voice, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. So we're going to stop here this week, and we continue next week from verse 6 of Matthew 17. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for reminding us, oh God, that our faith must be in Jesus Christ and him alone. So we just thank you again, oh God, for your word. Thank you for your people who are listening. And we pray that we will continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. And I hope and pray that you will continue to grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
In the Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us in 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia.